We're live. Welcome back to the Doomer Bloomer podcast with Will S. and the resurrection, partial resurrection of John Wynn. How are you doing today, John?
I'm good. As one of the initial founders of this podcast, it's good to be back on after a certain hiatus. And I have no idea if people are actually even wondering if why I was on a hiatus. Well, it was pretty simple. We were both on a hiatus at a certain point for a few months, but I just decided to pursue a new business venture and all that. It's been taking a lot of time, and it's proven to have quite a bit of unforeseen challenges and all that, but the reason why we say it's a partial resurrection, so I'm not going to be on every episode like I was on the first season, but I would definitely like to reappear here and there. I really like where Bill is taking this, the vision of this podcast. I think, like, ultimately, this podcast is going to help a lot of people. People that are, you know, maybe not in the best of places with their lives. And I think, like, considering my experience and your experience, like, we, this is something we've been through ourselves, you know, hence the name Doomer Bloomer podcast. And we just hope we can put out some positivity out there. What a touch of humor.
On that note, happy Zombie Jesus weekend.
Yeah, happy Bunny Day that lays eggs. We love to see it. We love to see the chicken bunny.
It's been almost 2 years now of this podcast.
No, it's been 2 years to the day, no?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Wasn't sure where things were going to go starting in 2019, but, we have the website now, the YouTube channel, the Twitter page, the Facebook page.
Yep.
LinkedIn page. We're out there. We're available for creating dialogues, conversations with people. I've had 7 guests on in the last 10 weeks at least.
Pretty interesting. And you've released them once you got the ransom money paid?
Yeah. That.
By the way, I'm being held captive here. Please help. please send the authorities.
Yes.
I didn't want to be here. No, I'm just... Obviously, I'm joking, but very interesting that you... we had discussed doing that eventually, but, while I was on hiatus, or should I say I got murdered by Tom Wintergreen or whatever, the reason I just gave for business and all that is a lie. I got murdered by Tom. But thanks to Zombie Jesus and the great Chicken Bunny, I'm here partially resurrected.
That's right.
Yeah,
we've also switched our podcast provider, our service. We now use Anchor by Spotify. It's been a great new platform. I can only see it. Becoming even better in the future with more integrations to other services. We're also on Podchaser. It's one of the largest aggregated podcast websites in the world. Think of it like the Google of podcasting. If you want to like, share, subscribe, leave us a comment or review, it really helps out the show. On that note, John, what would you like to talk about this Easter weekend? We can keep it as short as long as you want.
Yeah. Well, I just kind of, I know you have a couple topics you you want to riff on. Me, I kind of, I want to keep it like open form, but there was something that we talked about prior to going on the air. When we're just chatting between ourselves, how I'm kind of feel like, you know, everyone in this type of culture war, you know, between leftists and far right people, or even now, like people that are in the middle, moderate right to moderate liberals, you know, everyone is disagreeing with each other and all that stuff. And with COVID now, I mean, I really feel sorry for the upcoming generation. I mean, I'm going to be close. I was born in the early 80s, and even people that are in my age range, I can tell, like, we've become a lot more weak than our predecessors. And you know, even I'm guilty of this, like complaining about shit when, I mean, the comforts and all the stuff we have, like, in this world is never before seen wealth. And I mean, I do fairly well for myself, and I just feel sorry for, like, so when I look at people even younger than me, or and you for that matter,
we're talking ages like 20, what do you think, 25?
Yeah, let's say 20 to 25, and or let's say like teenagers, which is teenagers to 20. That's like even a newer generation, kind of like a half generation. But yeah, I would say let's say from 14 all the way to say like 28. You know, I mean, their paradigm, the way they grew up and the way I grew up, is completely different. You know, I didn't grow up, like, I remember the first time laying my hands on an internet computer at a friend's place. This is like in 95 or 96. I mean, it blew my mind away. And, you know, basically what I did is I just did a few searches on Yahoo and played Duke Nukem on a network, which I thought, like, which completely blew my mind. And man, did I have a lot of fun. I've always been a fan of technology, always liked technology and all that, but it just wasn't common. I mean, this was a rich kid that had access to that. I mean, most 99% of the people I knew, then, if they had a computer, didn't have internet, or, you know, it was just a rare thing. And,
now we're in the Fortnite generation.
Well, now I mean, so when I say I feel sorry, I don't feel sorry because we have all this wonderful technology and all that. It's just, you know, the infrastructure, this technological infrastructure, is creating a lot of never seen before impacts on even older minds, including like even my mom and stuff like that. Like the way the media is just like pumping up a whole bunch of disinformation and propaganda. But now, like, these, like, before, like when I was growing up, we were growing up in an age where we call it the information age, right? Where we're having more and more access to information. But now it's not that we have access to information. We're fucking swimming.
We're bombarded.
Yes.
Constantly.
Yes.
You can't, like for myself, you know, I try and deliberately limit certain things, right? Like,
yeah,
when I go to bed, it's on airplane mode. You won't be able, like, I don't pick up my phone when I go to sleep.
Yeah.
You know, I have times of the day where I completely put my phone on silent and I don't let it ping or make any noise whatsoever. And I think that's important. You know, setting boundaries is important, I think, in today's technologically bombarded society.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree. Like I told you, right. Like I've been practicing quite a bit lately. Like, I used to call it meditation, but it's not always meditation. I try to do at least 1 hour a day where I'm not watching anything, I'm not listening to music, I'm not reading anything, I'm just completely, everything is turned off and I'm alone with myself. And before I tried to practice it as much, to consider it like as much as possible as meditation, where I would just breathe and focus on my breath and allow whatever thoughts, emotions, feelings, and all that stuff rise to the surface and be completely detached from it. And I still do that. But a lot of times I actually don't even want to focus on my breath. I just want to fucking argue with myself, or I just want to reframe things, or I just actually want to analyze and go into deep thinking, which is not the same as meditation. So within that hour, I will just allow myself to be as inwards as possible with my own self, without any fucking distractions. And that this is something that most people aren't going through anymore. And hence the reason why there's so much brainwashing. There's like religion. I've never been a fan of religion. I wouldn't consider myself necessarily an atheist. I would probably fall more in the category of an agnostic. I'm definitely atheistic when it comes to the mainstream religions. Monotheistic religions. I do have a proclivity to Eastern philosophies and even more ancient philosophies, or even more contemporary ones also.
Yeah.
But like something like philosophies that don't necessarily revolve around anything supernatural or a particular deity or whatnot. But I you know, there's certain things I contemplate that might be considered a little metaphysical. For instance, like this, like the theory of panpsychism. But it really doesn't matter. Like my point here is like we had structures and or institutions, religious, for instance, that have that are breaking down, and I don't think necessarily is a bad thing. However, religions and faith and stuff like that, it is definitely part of our genetic makeup. Across all cultures, it's there. So it seems human beings need something greater than themselves to reorient themselves towards to. And not having that in place for them is leaving a void for a lot of people. And now we have like a whole civilization that's floating in all kinds of absurd information and disinformation. So what do you think like that void is going to do? Is going to get filled up by all this soup of nonsense floating around? And that's why you have like these nonsensical fucking groups like the far leftists and these idiots from QAnon, fucking spewing out the most ridiculous shit. Ultimately, I hope from a bird's eye view, when I take a bird's eye view perspective, I've talked about this before. It's almost like for any new homeostasis, be it on the individual level or on a societal level, you kind of need an agent of chaos to shake things up so a new re-equilibrium can take place eventually, right? So you've got these far leftists that are screaming all kinds of nonsense about you know, critical race theory. And the thing is, there's partial of truths in what they're saying, be it like when it comes to sex, the sexes, sexual orientation, races, the gender wars and all that. It's not like everything they're saying is 110% untrue. But there's so much so many lies and completely made up crap in there that they're kind of like destroying their own points themselves. And I think a part of it is just like this is our people that feel completely hopeless.
Yep.
And they also, they feel hopeless because, like, life is so kind of, like, secure. It's almost, like, too secure, right? There's so, like, the crime rates have dropped exponentially. Like, humans have never been safer ever. Their basic needs are met. And
we have an, we've automatically moved to at least to the middle part of the Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Exactly. Exactly. Right.
You have security, you have food, you have,
you know, a shelter, place to live,
mm-hmm. you know, that's been provided by your family, you know, your family situation, your living situation.
Yeah.
And it's difficult to know a life without that.
Yeah. It like, yeah, the basic needs, we're definitely, the basic needs have been fully met, and it's not even a thought anymore, right? It's not even something, there's something freeing when you're like, if I need to eat, at least, I got to do this, right? And you're like, well, I can't go out without eating. So like, if you're living in, say, the caveman era or whatever, and you're like, I got to move, I got to get up my ass because we're not going to survive. There's something freeing about that, right? There's something liberating that you don't, like, not having a choice sometimes feels more liberating than having 10 million choices. But especially when all you're contemplating are insignificant choices. Should I buy the next T-Pain CD? Wow, that's an old reference, T-Pain. Has anyone ever heard of T-Pain at this point? God, I don't know why this guy popped in my head. Or should I buy the 6ix9ine CD? You know, should I go for Snitch or Pain? For Stitching or Pain? But anyways, it's like, does it really matter, like, what type of fucking biscuits you buy for your dog? Or I actually feed our pets. We fucking give them meat and organ meat. None of that fucking processed bullshit. And our animals are healthy. But anyways, yeah, we're faced with a bombardment of different choices every single day that really don't have, like, a significant, that really aren't choices of importance, right? And the fact that our basic needs are constantly covered, we're at this point in the Maslow pyramid where we're struggling with the human connection aspect.
Well, we've become a tribal society to a city state, and now we're a global society, and your tribe now has kind of, in my opinion, has migrated onto the internet, right? Like, what tribe mentality are we going to subscribe to on the daily basis, right?
Definitely.
And you were mentioning yesterday, like, even 15 years ago, being gay or having, like, a little bit of makeup or something like that, that would, like, automatically ostracize you.
It would ostracize you in a lot of, in a lot of groups and communities and all that. Like, definitely when I grew up, like, being gay was, like, one of, like, the worst things that you could be, type of thing.
You know, and we're talking from a North American culture, right? Like, in
others. Which was a lot more tolerant than, like, I would say at least 50% of the other cultures out there when it comes to that stuff, yeah, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not like gays were completely off the radar at that time. It was just something considered, like, really...
It was fringe, definitely.
It was fringe. Yeah, it was definitely fringe. And I guess that's where I'm getting back to this kind of, like, elastic between the two polarizations, like, you know, especially when it comes to the culture war, if you will, the right and the left narrative, is once that elastic breaks and the cookie crumbles where it may, I think it's, you know, we're going to disregard a lot of the leftist craziness, but also on the right's craziness, right? Like, being gay already now sounds so vanilla. It's like, oh, really?
Cool. It's just like, it's what variant do you want to be now?
Yeah. Like, yeah. So if far left extremism can help, you know, take these marginalized people, because let's be real, let's not pretend there wasn't like any marginalization for all these types of, be it orientations or races or like even genders and shit like that. Now all this stuff is not going to be a big deal anymore. If like the nonsense, the rest of the nonsense from that side, of the narrative is over. Because now even the right, like, you never hear the right spewing some fucking really ignorant shit, because we're just saying maybe we should like keep our borders a little bit more secure, and it's like racist Nazi and shit like yeah. that. So you know, they're already dragging even the right, like the nonsense from the right into a better place, right? It's just like it's going to an extreme. But at the same time, arguing for a better process on immigration, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. If you have like a set amount of resources and spots available and all that, I mean, obviously I'm not against immigration. My wife, she's a native Filipina. You know what I mean? It would be completely. But oh, that supposedly though, like when white guys have Asian partners, especially when it's a white guy with an Asian lady, it's a form of racism. I saw that bullshit on Twitter.
Oh, really?
And this is the type of bullshit that really's got to stop, man. Oh, really? I've dedicated my life. I've never had a better partner in my life, and that makes me a racist because it's a form of domination and fetishization of a culture and a race. That's the fucking bullshit that really has to stop, man. Are you fucking kidding me, man? Seriously. There's not one single person more important to me than my wife, and there's going to be people arguing that I'm a racist piece of shit because I capitalized on my white privilege to hook up with her or whatnot. I mean, that's the type of crap that I really can't stand. And that's the bullshit that ultimately I truly hope, I'm hopeful that when that crap falls, you know, we're going to have a new norm where, I'm black and I'm a conservative mm-hmm. or,
I'm a gay black conservative.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Because it really doesn't matter that,
it doesn't matter anymore. No. Right?
And why should it? Because it's more important. I think, what are you contributing or working towards in your life?
Yeah.
Regardless of your background, your race, your ethnicity, your sexual orientation, you know, like if you look at the Doomer Bloomer logo,
yeah,
like there's so much symbolism in that design. There's rainbows on there. There's going from the darker side of the shadow.
Yeah.
You know, money, spiritual integration, whether you believe in that from a religious perspective.
Or just a psychological perspective, you know, or philosophical.
And like the all-seeing eye, you know, looking deeper into your own, you know, your own consciousness, right? Like we talk about psychedelics on this podcast.
Yeah.
We're looking to find the doomers and the bloomers, you know, the people who are marginalized, the people who have talent or hidden talents that are, you know, trying to work towards a better and more cohesive and less
bleak future.
Less bleak future.
Yeah.
You know, like the, you know, 4-year election cycles are exactly what they are. 4-year election cycles.
Yeah.
You know, we have to stop thinking beyond 4-year election cycles and think about where we're going to be in 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years.
Yeah.
You know, and stop being so hell bent on fighting each other, our internet tribes back and forth.
Yeah.
And really coming to no mutual agreement or conclusion, because if you're so close-minded that you will not be willing to ask questions or learn, or, you know, try and understand another person's perspective. Like, we've talked about having flat earthers on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about having feminists on this podcast. Like, we're just trying to.
Well, the thing is we can't, like the concept of free speech is being able to live with people, even if you completely disagree with them on certain things, right? I don't think I'll ever agree the earth is flat, but I'm not gonna persecute them or cancel them, right? It's this authoritarian type of, and I would say this is the most troubling thing about the left, is this they're trying to be the moral authority over people and civilization as a whole. Like, they have all the answers. Like, they have all,
this is the one and best and only way of thinking, being, doing.
Yeah. And anything creating that falls from that train of morals and all that is automatically to be eliminated. I think I've talked about this book before, but the Lucifer Principle is definitely a book that comes to mind on the what's going on right now. It's as old as time itself, but, you know, and Jordan Peterson talks about this too, like this concept of ideological possession, right? And hence, when we get back to, I feel sorry for these newer generations, because even we're impacted and we didn't grow up like that. It's like these voids that are just being, it's almost like this giant ass, like God's ass in the sky. There's like this big tube and it's just like fucking flowing directly in our brains. And it's like, you know, right now media is so powerful. It's powerful because, you know, you're most people are tribal, like you said, and they're going to want to go on the side where it doesn't put you in danger of ostracization, and it doesn't put you in danger as being labeled as something that will, you know, get your, like, that's why cancellation is so dangerous, because it's a very powerful means of coercion, especially when it's being spewed on mainstream channels, right?
Mm-hmm.
When like the mainstream media, if you will, are constantly blaring out propaganda that suits their own, I don't want to say narrative again, but their own political views or so on and all that. And anything that goes against what they're saying is to be eliminated. Well, then you're creating, I mean, these are young minds, and even like the older people, they don't want to be on the wrong side of history and so on. So people are being brainwashed in a very insidious way to not be able to think for themselves, and to ultimately become pawns. And it's going to be harder and harder, because you've got tech, the way tech is they fucking specifically engineer everything to hit those dopamine receptors. So you're actually addicted to,
right,
to everything, right? So it, and plus they're going to tailor everything that you will see what you're interested in. So your eyes are glued on your fucking phone, your laptop, or your TV. So it's very scary to think that there's going to be, there's only like that there's going to be a whole generation that's hypersensitive, extremely malleable. Yep. Because it's
all right.
Yeah, so what I was saying, like you've got like a generation now that is extremely malleable, that is never really had to go through a lot of the suffering that
the last hard times generation would have been the World War II generation, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Realistically.
Yeah.
Since 1945. Onward, we've been in a period of good, pretty good times.
Opulence, yeah. I mean, there's been some. I mean, the 2008 crash in the U.S. I mean, it was pretty severe. Like, supposedly, for every percentage, the rate of unemployment goes up by. So, say unemployment is say 5% in the U.S. If it goes up to 6%, well, it's automatically 50,000 more people are going to die. So, I mean, poverty does have a severe impact. And I think that's, you know, I think that's why this rise of communism too is on the rise.
Well, I follow Stefan Arnio, and he said that, not he said, but he's written a book, Hard Times Create Strong Men, but the people who are now in political power went through the 1960s and 70s, you know, in liberal arts degrees,
yeah,
and that sort of background and mentality. And now that they're in positions of power, we're starting to see the socialism and the communism ideas infiltrate the society, right?
Yeah.
Like from an institutional perspective.
Yeah.
And I'm not against having safety, social nets or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we don't also want to create a society like, you know, well, I guess we're kind of there in a way, in lots of ways that we're already at, you know, like, have you read Atlas Shrugged?
No.
And that's like considered like the ultimate capitalist Bible, right?
Is that by
Ayn Rand?
Ayn Rand. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've heard about it though. Yeah, she was like this ultimate capitalist and all that, and she, and I disagree with her concept, because I did kind of like get a summary, looked at stuff that summarized her philosophy, especially when it came to capitalism. But I mean, we're not talking about like having socialist safety nets. We're having people more and more push for a completely communist society, saying that capitalism has completely failed. And I mean, it's understandable when you see like, when you see like the rate of inflation and salaries like staying pretty much flat, and like the power of your dollar losing a lot of its power, and but you're seeing like this 1 or 2% of society like fucking just bringing everything, just like making absurd amount of money, as a young person, like I heard this is by Winston Churchill. If you have a heart in your 20s, you're a liberal. If you have a brain in your 40s, then you're a conservative. So it's understandable that you're going to be like, well, this ain't right. Like the general population is not going anywhere, while just a few big heads are like fucking making world fucking countries. They're making like the money from small countries. They're like, mm-hmm. They have more money than small countries. Like Apple is something like, I think it's something like 20, like the first, like the last, like say 50 countries in the world, like the poorest countries. Well, Apple has more money than all those countries combined, type of thing. Don't quote me on the exact figures here, but it's actually preposterous. So you can understand the sentiment, but you got a bunch of fucking brainwashed people saying that the best way that they understand that all the other experiments failed, but this time they got the key to fucking make it that this time it's going to work. Like this argument that communism is, that wasn't real communism, be it in Russia or in Cuba or whatever, or Venezuela or whatever. No, that wasn't good communism. Man, communism is simple. You have like a small group of people, which is the state or the government, running every single fucking aspect of the economy, you know?
Right. And that's I think that's something we want to avoid personally.
Well, hell yeah, we want to avoid that, man. Like, China was smart. They basically, technically, it's still communism, but it's only when they started in
industrializing.
Well, no, integrating the concepts of capitalism. Basically, they allow people to start businesses and all that, as long as they have the ultimate control over those businesses, right? It's like, okay, do your thing. They allowed the free market to happen, but ultimately they're the ones still ultimately have like the ultimate control on what's going on. I mean, I don't know enough about China to go in all into the intricacies and all that, but ultimately, I mean, they're making a big brother state. I mean, they now have like a social rating. Mm-hmm. They have cameras everywhere. They're going to monitor everything you do on their citizens' social media and all that. So if you play too much video games, it decreases your social rating. If you have too many people that have bad social ratings in their equivalent of Facebook or email contacts, that will lower your social rating. That is like some next level fucking Big Brother shit. And this is like happening right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're doing it. They're doing it right now. And how can you have that? That's the thing. Like people, what they think is that communism is like, oh, us as a group, it might work in small groups, like maybe in a tribal, maybe a few thousand people in a community, you know, but that's like the essence of democracy, you know, but like we're talking about millions or billions of people. And how do you think like the fair exchange of goods is going to happen? Like, you're going to have like the central authority that enforces everything with an iron fist to make it work. To try to make it work. Ultimately, it's going to fail.
I believe that the world needs to become more DAO-centered.
Yeah.
And this is that's always been my version of leadership as well. Like, in my personal opinion, the reason why the world has as many problems and divisions and lack of you know, perceived lack of resources that we do is that we do not think about what we are contributing to the world. We think about what we can get from the world.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are really concerned about creating value in your life, you have to really switch your perspective on what am I getting out of this to what can I give to this? How can I serve? Your internal dialogue and your way of being and thinking and doing, or just being, you know, the people that end up, you know, with the most wealth and abundance and health and happiness and all of the things that we talk about in the 9 pillars or the 10 pillars on the podcast, they're creating value, right? And whether that be you know, making statues out of butter, like that was something we talked about on one of my guests.
Oh wow.
But like you need to become, you have to come from that place inside of you that says, what am I giving? And not what am I taking, you know? And if you start there, and if everyone had that thought collectively, you know, mm-hmm. I think we would be in a better place societally and culturally.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just been my view on leadership pretty much since I've read the Tao Te Ching by Lao Tzu, and, you know, to a further or lesser degree, you know, Wayne Dyer and his interpretation, you know, of that document, you know, in his book, Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life.
Yeah.
And it's given me
that's the book that kind of like took you out of one of your darkest places in your life, correct?
It basically took me from my doomer phase of my life when I was 25, 26. And yeah, it basically flipped the script and the switch in my core being that I wasn't coming or operating from a place of abundance. I was coming from a place of scarcity.
Yeah.
And poverty mindset, mostly because of my family upbringing and programming.
Yeah.
And it was the start of my deprogramming, like my bad programming, you know, or my ingrained programming.
Mm-hmm.
It helped me overcome that obstacle. And you know, if you're listening or, you know, watching this podcast, you know, you're going to find that there's one book or one person that sometimes just helps you. It helps you to come to a new place of understanding within yourself.
Yeah.
At least it did for me. And I constantly go back to that book.
And it's not like you read that book and then your life got like perfect afterwards.
I was still unemployed at the time.
Yeah.
But it helped me. It helped me understand that this too shall pass.
Yes.
That this is just one moment in time of your life.
Yeah.
And this is one phase of your life. You know, this is a storm of your life. Like yep. The Tao Te Ching talks a lot about nature and how life is cyclical, where you go through storms and you come back through the other cycle of the storm. And if you can actually take a step back and start realizing the cycles even before they happen.
Yes.
That's when you actually become a Taoist, a true Taoist master.
Yeah.
And that could take a lifetime. You know what I mean?
It definitely can. You can even like be intellectually aware, like, you know, it's like when you're thinking with your neocortex, you can be aware that, yeah, these are good times right now. But you know that it can't last like that forever.
Storms are going to happen.
Yeah.
Whether you want them.
But like, it's like your chimp brain is still going to be like, oh no, this has got to live forever. Like trading is a very good example of that. Right. If anyone out there is familiar with trading, you know that, like, for instance, Bitcoin can't go up forever and ever and ever. It has to come down.
It's a cycle, right? It's a bubble.
It's a cycle. But like when you're actually in a position and you just see like for however how long, and you're like, oh, it's going up, it's going up. It's like your chimp brain, like the greed, the excitement, the euphoria that you get from seeing like your account just grow like right in front of you. It overrides that intellectual knowing that you have in your brain that no, this can't last forever, and that's when you get caught off guard, and that's why, like, when you say it can take a lifetime of that, that's so true, because I read a curious book maybe like last year and all that, called The Chimp Paradox. And it explained like the psychological landscape in an interesting way. I've always been reading psychology books and literature on psychology since I was a teenager. So like the concepts weren't new to me, but it was explained in such a nicely imagined way that I think it would make sense for a lot of people, especially if they've never really dipped their toes in trying to understand, you know, the fundamentals of psychology. So it's basically your limbic system is a fucking chimpanzee. And even though you have, and like your neocortex is like the human side of you. So even though you know something, it's like, you know that smoking is bad for you, but you know, you might be able to stop for X amount of time. But then when for whatever reason you had a couple drinks and you're with friends, you see someone light up a cigarette, you had a bad day, your chimp brain is like, no, I want this, give it to me now. And even though you're like, no, I made all this effort to not, and it's like, shut the fuck up, human. Chimp is in the house now. Mm-hmm. All right, King Kong don't got shit on me, right? And then you're overridden, right? And that I think that's why like meditation and taking time to look inward, because like right now we have like fucking hyperactive chimps in our brain because we're being bombarded with all this information constantly, and having a philosophy that promotes calm and promotes inwardness and all that, I think is so important. And yeah, I consider myself someone that takes a lot of the progress I've made in my life due to Eastern philosophy, you know, be it meditation, but just also kind of like the act of being in Western society, like where we're so focused on doing. If you want something done, you got to do something all the time instead of being, right? And you know, I've noticed a lot of, and I fall often for that trap myself, but a lot of times like when you get to a point where you're in harmony with your core self, like action doesn't take effort, right?
It's the Tao Te Ching says that non-action is sometimes more powerful than deliberate action.
Yeah.
Because you can spur yourself to a new level by just understanding that you're going to achieve the thing you're going to achieve by letting it come to you and being that rock in the stream versus always having that hard charging sort of action taking mindset, and
yeah,
you might blow by the thing that you were looking for, right?
Definitely.
Then being the stream and letting it come to you.
Yeah, because if you're too much focused on action, that means you're fighting certain aspects of yourself. Because I truly, even if you're a true extrovert, every human being needs to have like a certain amount of harmony. Like, especially if, like, I would say like most people, 90% of what they do, they do it because they feel they have to, not because they spontaneously want to go in that direction. Like, I mean, think about like even brushing your teeth. Like, I want to brush my teeth because I don't want to have like stinky ass swamp breath and decaying fucking redneck teeth. Like, Uncle Bob in the Appalachian Trail, fucking chewing tobacco all day. I don't want that type of shit. But like the act, like nothing fun necessarily about brushing your teeth. But you do it because, like, you do it because it's something ultimately that that is beneficial
for you. I'm gonna start trying to brush my teeth with my left hand.
Oh, you've listened to Jim Quick, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually did that in the beginning of the year when I went full beast mode, where I took massive action for...
And that's good, right? Like, I think you can sustain that for short bursts and periods of time.
Yep.
You know, whether that be a month, 2 months, or 3 months, you know, but there is going to be a certain point where if you're not, you know, you're not really paying attention to your internal indicators, you can actually reach a point of being burnt out.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You know, and that's what I've been learning through my leadership relationship and coaching program is that if you don't take that time, and if you're always on 100% of the time, all day, every day, 7 days a week, you're going to be forced to take a break, maybe longer than you would because you could get sick.
Yep.
Right. Your physical exhaustion, your mental exhaustion, and maybe you've been putting off, you know, other activities like, you know, enjoying going for a walk or going a bike ride or, you know, your regular gym workout.
Yeah.
And things like that. If you don't take the time to do the self-care, you know,
well, also action a lot of times is based on a deep-seated unconscious belief of scarcity, mm-hmm. right? You'll end up doing something over and over again in the hopes that you, like money is a good example, you're going to continue, I can't quit because then I won't have any money. And so you're filling your mind and body with like a continuous stress all the time. And that kind of creates a feedback loop where like you're overriding your natural propensity of like kind of like getting back in tune with yourself. And that just creates ultimately like bad unconscious beliefs in the end, right? It's like you said, I think it's you almost gotta like you put in the hard work. Like if you're playing Angry Birds, the hard work is to actually properly aim your bird and time it properly to destroy as many buildings as possible. But once you release that bird from the slingshot, then everything is already set in motion. So I would consider like doing like inner things to favor your inner space, your psychological well-being, or you can even call it spiritual, whatever you want to call it, but like make sure that your mind, body, and spirit is in tip-top shape. It's kind of like the same as calibrating the Angry Birds slingshot to make sure that when you let loose and you let that action happen, then it's going to be directed in the right place. Because like when you're in that mindset of like action and all that, you might think it's like steering a car, but like no, like at this point you're doing 90% of the things you're doing when you're actually doing something is on autopilot, right? And even like your what you think is conscious or whatever, that's just like programming and shit that you put in your that you've put in your mind like from before and all that. So it's essential. Like, yeah, I think if more people, you know, focus on, you know, cleaning up their mind, there'd be more critical thinking out there,
mm-hmm.
you know? So a lot of this disinformation and this crap wouldn't be affecting people as much. Secondly, people would be able to find their own inner strength and tools to overcome whatever dark places they're in. Trust me, like I have some old pictures where I straight up look like the fucking doomer meme, Like the fucking
he does. I've seen it.
Yeah, man. Like
I can confirm this.
Yeah, man. The fucking
even gray, with the headphones gray, and the toque the headphones,
the gray toque, the black hoodie, the fucking cigarette in one hand and the beer in the other hand, and straight like I was like the fucking doomer meme before the doomer meme even existed, and when I started fucking making like concrete decisions in my life and took action. But before I took that action, it was actually going into deep reflection that made me to take those actions. That action came spontaneously to me because I actually had like real look yourself in the mirror type conversations with myself and be like, yo, enough is enough, right? Take whatever tools you have inwards, and it's not going to be easy, but fucking you can't stay like this anymore. And I think I remember even like what I like there's a particular date in particular, like in the 2010 is when I really kind of started snapping out of it like properly, like where I'm giving myself a minimum of excuses and doing really making some hard decisions to get out of my comfort zone. And within a year, there's certain people that would cross me on the streets that kind of knew me that asked if I had a brother called John, because they thought I was a different person, but I was related to the person I was like maybe a year or two before. That's how quick like that these types of transformations can happen. Mm-hmm. We kind of overestimate how much progress we can make in a short amount of time, but we underestimate how much progress we can make in a more midterm amount of time. We were talking about this yesterday or in the day before when it comes to technological progress, but mm-hmm. I think it can really apply to progress. Yeah. Personal progress in one's life.
Yeah, consistent actions done on a daily, weekly, monthly basis
mm-hmm.
add up to, you know, long-term progress. And
but sometimes just cutting out something bad, be it like a bad mm-hmm. bad influences in your life, be them people or habits or whatever. Like sometimes, like don't underestimate like sometimes like what appear as insignificant or small actions, how big of an impact they can have. Like I would say one of the best things I did to exponentially grow my progress was to stop hanging out with certain people,
mm-hmm.
you know, where yeah. all my days were fucking arguing about dumb shit, drinking, smoking, and fucking doing. Yeah. Yeah.
You're the aggregate of the five people that you spend the most time with, whether yeah. that's in person or online or what have you, right? So
indeed,
if you want to upgrade your life, get around people who are on the same path, right?
Yep.
Or are at least, you know, either ahead of you or in the same mindset of improvement.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, exactly. And at least stay away from people that are just gonna bring you down to your worst parts, right?
Well, Robert Greene says don't hang around the unlucky and unfortunate people.
Yeah,
right. That's just that's 48 law of power maxim, right?
Yeah,
don't hang around those people, and you don't get dragged down to their level of bullshit. And I'm guilty of this, you know. I've spent some time around people that really weren't going anywhere in their life, and
yeah,
it got me, you know, coming back to a bad place of, or worst place or worst place of thinking, right? I got off my purpose that I was working towards.
Yep.
Just because I got bogged down in their nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to go into another half hour here.
Yep.
So, this podcast has been a labor of love. It seems to be getting, in my opinion, better every week,
mm-hmm.
every month, like considering some of the earlier episodes. And I mean, they're in the archives, obviously, but we're working towards putting, you know, put it like I think of it as legacy. Like, you know, to me, Doomer Bloomer podcast is going to be a legacy.
Yeah, do another one.
All right, here we are. And
so you were talking about legacy.
Yeah, you know, think about, you know, I like what 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, and you start with the end in mind, right?
Yeah.
Visualize your funeral, right? What do you want people to say about you or about your life, you know, at your funeral? Like, when, you know, think about, project yourself, you know, in your mind. I'm hoping that I'm going to live to at least 100 years old.
Yeah.
I think with, you know, good diet, exercise, technology, you know, gene therapy is coming, right? Getting yourself to a point where, you know, you're eating good food, being healthy. You know, at my 100th birthday or whatever, or if I'm still on the planet, I want to have left a legacy that's been positive, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want to break the cycle of poverty within my family. I want to have a life of abundance where, you know, I'm not just, you know, living day to day. I've gotten to the point where I'm at a, you know, I'm in a complete abundance and alignment with my purpose on this planet. And I've reached a point of contribution and giving back. That's ultimately what I'm striving for, right?
Yeah, I'm at a point where I'd rather die.
Yeah.
Than I'm not even joking, man. I'd rather die than fucking continue living. Even though, I mean, I can't complain about my lifestyle right now, but I want to get to a point, like, I'd rather die if.
You don't want to be in decrepitude, is what you're saying.
Well, I definitely, right? And I'm gonna get to like the age part of things, but I'd rather die than spend the rest of my life just complaining, worrying about I can't do this because I have to do all this to get this amount of money for me to do this and all that, like this. Life of financial limitation that 99.9% of the fucking people on this planet are living by. But considering that what I've been able to accomplish up till now, when I look back at my past, I there's absolutely no reason, in my opinion, that I couldn't I get to these next levels. And it's not like I don't appreciate, I actually greatly appreciate everything I have up till now. I definitely can't complain. That's not what I'm saying. If there's no progress being made, like if I already got up to this point, but I, you know, I still have to, you know, budget if I want to go like 1 month or 2 months on vacation or whatever. Like I want to be able. Like my next goal is like, hey, my next goal is to have enough money in the bank that if I'm like, you know what, I want to take the next year, 1 year to 18 months, completely off what I'm doing and just focus on this, whatever pet project that I have in mind. And even if I don't make money with it, it's okay. I'm still going to be all right. Like that to me is ultimate freedom. Ultimate freedom is not like, oh, I have so much money, I can buy like a whole bunch of cars and just go on vacation and do nothing and just, I mean, that's definitely something I even do on occasion. But ultimately, that's not how I want to live my life. How I want to live my life is being able to, if I have like a business idea or, you know, I feel like, man, I'm like the arts are really calling me. I want to do music, or I want to get into painting, or I want to write something that I can be like, you know what? I'm going to dedicate this next period, this next year, or a year and a half, or 2 years, or whatever, to exclusively focus on this, right? And not have like the financial pressure to keep on diverting my attention. To do stuff that I'm not interested in doing anymore, right? I'd rather die than be like, well, no, life is, you got to work. And then maybe when you're at 65, 70 years old, then you can retire and live within your means. I mean, that's such a limiting way to think of life. I'd rather die than have that goal. Like, even though I'm not at that point right now, at least I have like something to work towards to. But if you took away that vision inside of me, I'm like, what's the point? Like, what's the point of all this? Like, did I go through all this fucking strife and sacrifice and all that just to fucking be another cog in the machine? You know what I mean? Like, to me, that's unacceptable.
I know exactly what you mean. Stefan Arnio calls it dead money. Working for dead money.
Yeah.
Whether that be in a high stress or high pressure environment or the corporate environment, but if you're not living your life purpose,
yeah,
or working towards your life purpose, you know, and that could change through the course of your life as well. Like who I was at 21 and what I wanted at 21 versus what I want at 31 is completely different.
Yeah.
But there's still been that core belief inside of me that my life is not just the sum of its parts. It's that I'm directly in charge of where I'm going and where I want to be. And I know ultimately, you know, this point in time, you know, I don't want to work for other people, you know, in the traditional sense.
You might do a contract for them. Or
right.
Something
yeah. Like
that.
I would rather work with people than for people.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Right. Like I'm not going to be the salaried or the T4 employee anymore.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in middle management. I want to work with people, and collaborate with people to accomplish even bigger things, right?
Yeah.
Whether that be the Doomer Bloomer podcast, my other podcast, the Yukon Gold, and what I'm doing and working towards right now in selling, marketing, and learning copywriting even. It's my ultimate, you know, goal and purpose to contribute, to give something back and create value. So yeah. I'm focusing on what I can give, not what I can get. And it's really become apparent that it is the way to create the life of freedom that you want, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, health, wealth, happiness, freedom, virtue, travel, creativity, you know, all the things that in the nine pillars that I talk about. And then ultimately, you know, charity is one of the pillars I've added. So I actually have a 10th pillar now. And it's going a lot better for me, right? Like I'm not wasting my time on activities and things that I don't want to do anymore. I'm putting my energy and efforts towards things that bring me joy and bring out the best of myself, you know, and I'm not working, you know, 10 or 12 hour days for somebody else and then coming home and don't even have the energy to, you know,
working in minus 40 to minus 50 degrees. And we're talking about Celsius, not Fahrenheit here.
Right.
Although both are pretty damn fucking cold. So,
you know, and, yeah, maybe in the short term, like I may be sacrificing or giving up a little bit of money, but money is not the be all end all. It's just like anything. It's a means to an end to accomplish, you know, to accomplish bigger, greater things. Right.
And yeah.
And if you really, truly believe, you know, as I do, you know, money is infinite. It comes and goes. And it's more important that you're living in alignment with your purpose, I think.
Yeah. So you're talking about money. I was checking a crypto position I had.
See, and
speaking of money,
right? And And I think, you know, in the next 5 to 10 years, I think we're going to be moving away from a fiat system to alternate forms of currency. You know, it's become very apparent, you know, walking even in downtown Edmonton the other day, you know, there are businesses built around Bitcoin now. You know, you wouldn't have seen that 10 years ago.
Oh, hell no. I mean, PayPal just accepted crypto payments now. This is like just a few days ago. That's insane. We're going to live like, I'm really excited about the future. And I would say ultimately the reason why money is so important to me. And I just want to have enough money where I don't think about money so I can actually look at this fucking crazy, amazing, like in its beauty, but also in its ugliness. Like I'm just fascinated by this world and where it's going, even with all the crap and bullshit in there. But I mean, yeah, like with the way like things are going, like it's looking like when we imagine like cyberpunk fucking fiction and all that, it's looking more and more like that, you know, with crypto, with all the crypto, amazing crypto projects going on. I mean, it is going to completely change the economy, but also like other technological things like genetic engineering, fucking cybernetic engineering, where we're merging more and more with technology, AI, and so on. I want to have enough money so I can ultimately be able to have access to rejuvenation therapies, where when I'm 60, 70 years old, I'll be able to be biologically the same as I was in my 30s and so on. And a lot of people must think, what's this guy on? Is he smoking crack or something? No, man. It's called reading and being updated on what's going on in these different fields, especially when it comes to life extension. I truly believe there's at least a 50% chance that within 20 to 30 years, there's going to be like treatments out there that you're going to take a 60, 70 year old person and be able to revert their biological age. For people that are not familiar with that concept, just look at the Joe Rogan experience with David Sinclair. And you can also check out Dr. Obrey. He wasn't on Joe Rogan, but he's another prominent figure in the life extension space. But it's unbelievable. Like, I think it's possible as long as human, when we get to the point where human beings can get their age reversed and get another like 40 to 50 years extended on our current life expectancy. So instead of living old and decrepit till 80 to 100 years old, you live a nice, vibrant life to 120, 130 years old. By that time, we're gonna have figured out on how to like straight up become pretty much immortal. So I mean, like the world is changing, folks. Like faster than a fucking TikTok video.
Owned by the Chinese government.
Yeah. Just like, if you thought Facebook and Google and all that was bad for data mining, what the fuck are you doing having TikTok on your phone? Like, I hope Bill, like, so Bill is the one that, you know, kind of took over the podcast, even though I'll be making guest appearances. I hope you don't put our podcast on TikTok, man. Fuck that app.
I already have, three different accounts, and I'm not adding in a third one, a fourth one.
Okay.
So we're on Facebook, Twitter. We're on, we have a LinkedIn page, a Facebook page, a Twitter page. We have an Instagram page. But that's as far as I'm going.
Perfect. There's a reason why like multiple countries want to ban TikTok altogether. It's not because it's a dumb fucking app with dumb videos. Although, I mean, I find some entertaining. It's because it's completely fucking data mining everything that's linked to your TikTok account. So if it's on your phone, everything that's on your phone is being funneled all the way to the Chinese government's database. And like this ain't a conspiracy. This is not like some Alex Jones makes the frogs gay type bullshit. This is like, this is legit what's going on. And that's why like many countries are trying to ban this. So, well, I didn't think I was going to talk about TikTok, but
well, you know, we're coming on to the hour 20 minute mark here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess I had too much coffee because I could rant on and on. I guess like I had to, being a year off the podcast, I guess I had a few itches to scratch. But yeah, let's end it here. I think probably next time I'm on the podcast will be when we have another guest on too. I have an experience like Bill has the that type of dynamic, and I'm looking forward to you know, chatting it up with some strangers.
Stranger danger. Yeah, we're actively looking at, we're on matchmaker.fm. It's like the Tinder for podcasts. We have a profile on there. We also have a profile on Podmatch as well. We're also looking at doing guest collaborations with other podcasts. If you want to interview myself or John is open to that. We will be doing that in the future as well. And as always, we're on YouTube at the Doomer Bloomer Podcast, Twitter, Doomer Podcast, Instagram, Doomer Bloomers, Facebook, Doomer Bloomers. My personal Twitter is Bill_ETE on Twitter. I'm fairly active there. And as always, have yourself a happy and great, prosperous Easter weekend.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Happy chicken rabbit day, and peace the fuck out.